We're going to dismiss our kids and our youth out the side door to go on to Sunday school. And while they do that, let me just say happy Advent season. Good to see you all. It's a pleasure to be here together in the house of God. So everybody doing well?
Yes.
Staying warm?
Yep.
Because this is like my dream weather. I was like running around in a t-shirt earlier. I was like, every time I think about summer, I think this is the Lord just being good to me. So I can make it through this. I know the summer's coming, you know, but I'm never ready for it, so. Well, church, we're in week 3 of our Advent series, and we are taking a deeper look at the Gospel of John in chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, we'd encourage you to open those up. We'll be in verses 6 through 8 this morning. And as you do that, let me invite you. So we have contact cards on the back of the seats in front of you. And those allow us to send you information. And perhaps you've been going to this church for a long time, but you moved like 3 years ago and you never updated your address, or you never gave us your new phone number when you got a new cell phone from work. We would love to have updated information so we can let you know that like Christmas Eve stuff is happening, or we can invite you to a food truck night. And we also have congregational meeting coming up in January. We want to be able to have all of our records updated. So if you get a chance and you have updated information to give us, would you fill that out? And you could put that in the black box by the double doors on the way out, or in the gray box by the office in the lobby. The other thing that we do on those is you can send us any prayer requests you might have. The pastors take those and we pray over those during the week. We love praying for our church family. So if there's any prayer requests that you have, you can write those on there as well. And if you have any questions, come find me. It's good to be here with you guys. Before we jump into our passage, though, let us pray and ask the Lord to guide us and direct us through his precious word. Would you bow your heads with me, church? Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made to pay for our sins. And at this Advent season, we just remember all that you did to redeem us out of the darkness and call us into light. Lord, what a precious gift we have in Jesus. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, as we turn these pages and hear about your plan that has unfolded from history past to this day, Lord, we want to see who you are through these words. So, Lord, we ask, illuminate our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit. Show us the way you would have us to go. And God, glorify yourself as we study your word this morning. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So John 1:6 begins with these words. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." It's a pretty straightforward verse. But to be clear, John the Apostle is writing these words, and he's writing them about John the Baptist. So just make sure you get your Johns correct. But I want to ask, like, why does the Apostle John introduce John the Baptist in this moment? If you look back at verses 1 through 5, it seems sort of like an abrupt break in the text. John the Apostle just finished writing about how God was the Word, and the Word was with us, and he dwelled among us, and he was the light, and the light overcame the darkness, and all these great things. And then he's like, and there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. And again, if you go back to past that to verse 9, he continues talking about the light coming into the world. So his verses 6 through 8 feel a little bit out of place, and yet the Apostle John does this as a way of reminding us that from the very beginning, God's primary method for letting the light shine into this world is through human witness. God fights the darkness by giving his children the mission of witnessing of the light. Now, a witness is someone who has reliable evidence, right? If you've ever been called into a courtroom, you were called to give testimony of evidence that you have, firsthand knowledge, the facts about what actually went down. You can say, as a witness, I was there. I saw it happen. It went down like this. And John the Baptist was called by God to show the world, to testify to the truth about the light of Jesus Christ. He was a witness to the light, and that light, as we learned last week, was Jesus himself. Now, the reason John was called to be a witness was so that people would hear his testimony and believe as Jesus was the promised Savior. Now, it's interesting to me because God could have proclaimed Jesus as the light in an infinite number of ways, right? He could have used the angels, and it could have just been lining the skies, and we could have heard them proclaiming about Jesus, and we would have looked and said, oh, yeah, that makes sense, okay. Or he could have spelled it out in big puffy cloud letters. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And you could have looked up in the sky and said, okay, well, yeah, I believe that. He could have caused the wind or the sea or the mountains or the animals to testify on Christ's behalf. But instead, God chose to call and send human beings to bear witness to the light. This principle is even more clear because John was sent to testify about Jesus while Jesus was still walking on earth. Jesus did not need John the Baptist to make him known. He was actually doing a pretty good job of that himself. He could have managed by himself, but God, in his infinite wisdom, decided that his son should be testified to by the people that he sent. Church, you and I have been called as witnesses to the light. The theologian J.G. V. Wigram said this. He said, soon we shall all be with Christ. God did not mean us to be happy without him, but God would first have us to be witnesses for him down here, to hold out as much light as we can. This word, this life, this light that is Jesus, has come into the world. And he isn't conquering the darkness with some kind of bolt of lightning or some explosion of glorious light. He is conquering the darkness by lighting the hearts of millions of cold, dead human torches with the light of the gospel and using that gospel to defeat the darkness as we, as his children, shine the light of Christ to those around us. That is the way God chose to testify to the world about who Christ was and what he came to do. Now, verse 7 tells us about John the Baptist's mission. The Apostle John writes, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. You see, John the Baptist, he is a witness to the light so that all may believe. So how do people believe? How do they put their faith and their trust in Jesus? We believe something by hearing a witness or a testimony and then accepting that testimony as true. Right? Every single person in this room, if you are a follower of Christ, at one point or another, someone told you the truth about who Jesus was, and you chose either to accept or reject it in that moment. Every single person, unless God came to you in some kind of, you know, glorious light or something like that. Most of us, I would say 99.9% of people are Christians because they heard testimony about Jesus Christ from someone else. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, if you look at John 1:7, this is the first reference to the word believing in John's entire gospel. And John actually talks about this 97 more times throughout his gospel. Because it is the entire goal of everything that John writes about. John actually summarizes his gospel in John 20:31 like this. He says, but these are written. Everything that he's written is so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Church, faith in Christ, believing in who Jesus is, comes through human witnesses to the light. And our witness is an incredible necessity in this dark world. Your witness, your calling as someone who testifies of who Christ is an incredible necessity in this world. Without witnesses, people will not believe. And we have been called to be his witnesses, not making much of ourselves, but making much of Christ. And you'll notice as you look at John the Baptist's responses through these first few chapters of John chapter, or the Gospel of John, his message is often making much of Christ and diminishing himself. Right? He in John 3:30, he says, "He, Christ, must increase, but I must decrease." It was Robert Murray McChane who said, "Leave your home, your comforts, your bed, your ease, your all to feed lost souls. The Lord of glory left heaven for this. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master." Church, are you open and ready to God's call on your life to bear witness to the light of Christ? The darkness is overcome as you and I testify to others the message of the gospel of Jesus and glorify him with our witness. Church, this is the mission of the church. It's not about showing up on Sundays and singing songs and hearing some guy talk. It's about becoming like Jesus so that we can then glorify him with our testimony about who he is. We are called to be witnesses to Christ and his gospel. And that witness should never be, "Look at how I've changed. Look at what's happened to me." Our witness should always be, "See who Christ is and what he has done for me." Our personal testimonies are interesting. They're great stories. But our call is to witness of him, to point to his saving grace and the message of the gospel of him. That is what it means to bear witness to the light, to talk to others about who Jesus is and what he came to do so that all, as John says, might believe through him. The Gospel of Mark reminds us that this is our mission. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And in Acts 1:8, Luke writes, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Church, each person in this room has been called by God to be a witness to the light. That Jesus is the only way to salvation, that there is no other way. That those who have met Jesus and know who he is and know what he's done can tell others that he is the one who has made peace between them and their heavenly Father. You see, being a witness isn't an optional part of the Christian life. And I think this is one of those things that because it's hard or because we fear it, it's the thing we just kind of shove to the side and act like, "No, I'll do that if it ever just comes right in front of me. I'm not going to go seek witnessing about Christ." Right? I like the singing part and the fellowship and food truck nights, great. Those things are great. But witnessing, that's a little harder. If I said, "Hey, Monday, instead of food truck night, you're all going to show up and we're going to go knock on doors," how many would you show? How many of you would show? You don't have to raise your hand. That's okay. You would at least give it a second thought as to how much you actually want to participate in something as horrifyingly scary as knocking on someone's door to tell them about Jesus. Now, I'm also not suggesting that this is the best way to do it, but I'm just saying This idea of witnessing to the light is something we just kind of cast to the side a little bit. You know, if somebody asks me a question, yeah, I might answer. You know, I could tell them my story. But talking to them about the gospel, like, ooh, I don't know. But this is central to everything that we claim to believe as followers of Jesus. Now, you and I aren't firsthand witnesses of Jesus' life on earth, but we are able to testify about the incredible grace and truth and mercy and love that was given to us and brought us out of our own darkness and into His marvelous light. Now look at verse 8. John writes this. He was not the light, John the Baptist, but he came to bear witness about the light. You see, John the Apostle makes it abundantly clear that John the Baptist isn't the guy. He's not even significant in the scheme of things. But his job was to testify about someone who was. And you can see this in the way that John the Baptist talks about Christ. Look what he writes in John 1:23. This is John the Baptist. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. When John describes himself, he describes himself simply as a voice, a witness. His mouth doesn't speak self-exalting words. It's not about him. He speaks Christ-exalting words. Make straight the way of the Lord. In John 1:15, he tells us, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. In John 1:26, 27, he says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. In John 1:32 through 34, John says, and John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Church, this is how easy it is to proclaim your witness about Jesus Christ, that he is, in fact, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Doesn't need to be much more complicated than that. When we bear witness about Christ, our testimony should look like John the Baptist. If your testimony, if you exalting Christ, if your testimony isn't filled with the exaltation of Christ, then perhaps it's time to revise it, to rethink the way you present the gospel to others. If your testimony isn't talking about the marvelous work that he has done in your life because of who he is, because of how much he loves you, then perhaps it's time to revisit that. When you proclaim Christ to others, is your proclamation mostly about what Christ has done for you? Or is it mostly about who you were before? You see, John only ever speaks about the greatness and exceeding worth of Jesus Christ. We don't know anything about John the Baptist's life before he was saved. We just know that he, above all things, put Christ at the highest place. And may that same thing be true for each of us. Now, not only was John the Baptist's witness a beacon of truth, but his life was also a faithful testimony about who he was. He didn't just speak truth. He lived it. Do you want to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ? And I think there's ways that we can begin to improve just in our own traits and characters and things that we value. And John the Baptist is going to provide us with several significant examples that will help make your witness of Christ shine even brighter. We'll sum these up in three character traits. The first character trait is simplicity. Is your life a simple life? You see, John, we know, lived in the wilderness. He dressed himself in modest clothes and he ate honey and locusts. I don't know if it was three meals a day, but that's what he ate. Doesn't sound too delicious. But the key is not in any of those things, but it is that his life was not marked with the things of this world. It was simply marked with who Christ was. It was simple. He wasn't worried about the things of this world. He simply decided to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he'd let all these other things be added to him. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you all need to move out to like some dirt patch in West Texas with a tent. Dress yourself in camel hair or alpaca hair or whatever they got out there. Eat some crickets and queso every meal. This is the equivalent. We don't have locusts. Well, we might have locusts, but, you know, we have those black crickets. So I just figure like those dipped in some queso would be the Texas equivalent of locusts and honey. So I'm not saying that this is what y'all need to do. But is your life a simple life? Is it marked with the simplicity that is Christ Jesus? Simplicity is a beautiful way for us to put on that value and shine the light of Christ into the darkness. Because a simple lifestyle gives tremendous power to your witness. Now, John's second character trait is humility, our favorite. And I'm not sure there's any value more lacking in our culture today than humility. Oh man, if we just had a little more humility, a lot of the things would be less of an issue. And humility, really, it's the basis for so many other virtues, right? If you want to be, you know, more patient, well, humility is a good thing to put on if you want to be more patient. Right? If you want to be more kind and compassionate to others, well, humility is part of that deal. Augustine actually said, if you plan to build a tall house of virtues, you must first lay a very deep foundation of humility. John the Baptist lived out this calling in humility and without any resentment towards it. He never complained that he had to eat locusts and honey or wear camel hair. He simply knew who he was, and he had a clear understanding of who he was in relation to Christ Jesus. Which is why he can say that he wasn't worthy to untie Christ's sandals, or that Jesus must increase and he must decrease. And he could say all those things without resentment or bitterness in his heart, because he was truly a man who was humble. Even when John the Baptist's disciples come to him, and they complained to John the Baptist that Jesus was stealing the show. Like, John the Baptist had a bunch of followers and he was baptizing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes onto the scene and all the guys that and the ladies that were following John the Baptist are over following Jesus. And John's disciples come to him and they're like, he who is with you across the Jordan to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and they're all going to him. And John's humble response is perfect. He says, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. This joy of mine is complete. He didn't care that Jesus was stealing all his disciples because that's where they needed to be in the first place. John's witness was authentic because he was a man of humility. Now, John's third character trait is courage. And he was a faithful witness to Jesus to the very end of his life, even when it actually cost him his life. You might not know the story, but John the Baptist confronts Herod the king for taking his brother's wife as his own wife. And he says, hey, you can't do that. God's word says no. is what cost John his life. Not from Herod, mind you, but shortly after that. The beautiful thing is John the Baptist stood firm on the truth of God's word, and he wasn't afraid to speak the truth even to the king when the king was doing something wrong. Church, does this mark your witness for Christ, speaking the truth in love? Or do we sugarcoat things to make them sound less offensive? Because we don't want to rub people the wrong way. John was a man who acted on the principles of God's word, and he spoke the truth even when it cost him everything. He got thrown into prison for that. Would you speak the truth in love even if it costs you everything? That is the mark of a witness who has courage. John's witness held firm to the truth because he was a man who was tremendously courageous. He was a shining light that led people constantly and pointed people constantly to Christ. John was a man of simplicity, humility, and courage. Church, do those character traits mark your witness to Christ? May we all seek to become more like John the Baptist as we strive to be witnesses in this darkness about who Jesus is. Now, the last thing I want to challenge you with, or maybe give you a little kick in the tail towards, and I'll close with this, is the heart that we must have to be faithful witnesses of the gospel is a heart that breaks for the lost. When was the last time your heart broke for someone who you knew was lost? Do you weep and cry out to God on behalf of those around you that don't know Jesus? Do you have compassion, merciful love, a desire to share the gospel, not because of any other reason except that you know that what they need is Christ and the joy and the hope that he brings? The evangelist Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you damned? Zion's comfy. But being a witness costs you something. And church, it's time for action. Because we've been too complacent for too long. And it's why we look into our world and we think, oh, the darkness is ruling the day. That's on us. The message has been clear all along. It hasn't changed. Who Christ is isn't any different today than it ever was. His message of hope and salvation doesn't need to be packaged up or put into some new gimmicky format so that you can somehow coerce people into following Jesus. Church, the truth is that all of humanity is dead in their sins and trespasses and needs to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. There is no other way to salvation except through him. The church needs to simply speak the truth with love in their hearts, building relationships with those who don't know Christ, not just for converting them, but because you truly love them. Telling them about who Jesus is and what he came to do. To be faithful to our witness, to the light. Church, you and I are called to glorify Christ with our very lives. And it's great to shine the light into the darkness. But it's even better when you actually talk about it. To actually tell people with your words that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what it means to give testimony. To be a witness that Jesus is, in fact, who he says he is. To to tell people that the message of the gospel is simply that God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. Church, that can be as simple as your message needs to be. And a lot of non-Christians even know that verse. Will you be a witness to the light of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? If you do, then there's an entire world of people that need to hear that truth. And they need you to speak that truth to them in love, with patience and grace and kindness and compassion in your heart. Don't beat them up over the head with it. Be a witness and testify to the light about who Jesus is and what he has came to do, that anyone who trusts in him can and will be given eternal life if only they trust him as their Savior. To him be all glory, honor, and power forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me, church? Jesus, we thank you that you are the light and that you chose to defeat the darkness by igniting the hearts of those who you call your children. Lord, give us a passion. Give us a heart that says, Lord, we want to witness about who you are even if it costs us something. And help us to be people who live simple lives, humble lives, courageous lives, and aren't afraid to proclaim the truth into the darkness that you are Lord. Jesus, it's hard sometimes to practice what we preach. It's hard to create new ways of thinking and new ways of doing things. And so I pray for each one in this room that you would give us first compassionate, broken hearts for the lost. That we would see them as your precious children. No matter who they are and no matter what their background is, Lord. Knowing that in all things, what they need most is you. Lord, help us to build worthwhile relationships with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our friends and family that don't know you, so that we can honor you and speak of who you are into their lives. Lord, and when we falter and when we stumble, when fear grips our hearts, Lord, fill us even more with your Spirit to overflowing, that what shines through us isn't us, but it's you. We praise you and we thank you for being our God, for being our light, for giving us new life in you. Help us to be witnesses to all this light. We praise you and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.